And what are John's views on the future of the Apple organization, which has gone through so many changes, especially of personnel, since the original Beatle dream was launched?
The Beatles are very sentimental, and whoever we hire, we never would fire them, you know. And there comes a point when it's like, you've got to be sensible, you know. And Apple is running very well now, and its future is bright. You just have to cut down on staff. If you've got too many, it's like the old aristocracy. There comes a time when they've got to cut down or sell the house, you know.
John, of course, has been the Beatle who has provoked the most discussion about the Beatles and the most controversy. He shaves off his beard or cuts his hair, and the story makes the front page of our newspapers. He and his wife, Yoko, campaign for peace from a bag and a hotel bed. And on one of their LPs, Two Virgins, John and Yoko had the audacity to be photographed naked.
I don't regret a thing, you know, especially since meeting Yoko. You know, that's made everything worthwhile. And that's the end of it, you know. I don't regret anything. Meditation, I still believe in, and occasionally I use it. And I don't regret any of that. But for me, it was good, and India was good for me. And I met Yoko just before I went to India, and had a lot of time to think and think things out there, with 3 months just meditating and thinking. And I came home and fell in love with Yoko, and that was the end of it. And it's beautiful.
The Ballad of John and Yoko. But what do the other Beatles think of John and Yoko's adventures? Particularly Paul, who for so long concerned himself with the public relations for the group. Does he ever fall out with John?
I started to tell him off about the Two Virgins cover. Just because it shocked me as much as it shocked him, as much as it shocked anyone. And I just said, well, you know, you're going to get in trouble doing that. And he said, well, I don't mind. I'd rather do it and get into trouble if I get into trouble. He said, I don't even think I will. So I eventually came round to it. And I said, well, don't get yourself in trouble, son. Go ahead. I mean, I think it's a good thing now. Silly of me to try and protect John. He knows what's going on.
And how does Ringo Starr react?
I think he's very brave and very strong. And he's doing a good job, you know. He could jump off the Eiffel Tower and I'd approve him. Mm. Because he feels strongly for everything he does, usually. And that's the only way to do anything. He's Mr. Soul Man, anyway, you know. He's the Soul Brother.
Soul Brother John Lennon. Well, from the early days when the Beatles were known as the Mop Tops and the Fab Four, till the time they were given MBEs, they were just about the most universal family favourites imaginable. Afterwards, of course, they practised meditation and even confessed to having taken drugs. There was the business battle for their music publishing company Northern Songs, the early ups and downs of their company Apple, Mary Hopkin, and the Plastic Ono Band. In what way, then, has the British public eventually come to feel about the Beatles? John Lennon.
The Beatles are treated like the Britain's children, you know, and it's okay for the family to insult us. But see what happens if abroad starts insulting us. The British will stick up for us, and it's just like a family. And it's all right for them to slap our face, but if the neighbour does it, you watch out, you know, and it's always been like that. And George is very depressed, and we do get hurt, because Britain appreciates us least, you know. But we can't help that. But at least we can live here in peace, you know, really.
But does Paul think that the Beatles have remained close?
We're not as much in contact with each other as we were when we were on the road every day, in the same van, in the same car, same dressing room. Obviously, we're not in that kind of contact. But we used to get together once a year and say, OK, we'll go to Japan, New York, so-and-so this year, because we all fancy it. We've never been before. So these days, because we aren't performing, we don't have to do that. But we do get together and say, we'll do an album then. We'll do an album then, and we'll do an album then. Because that's mainly what we do.
The Beatles' best and most successful album of recent times has been the LP Abbey Road. And for it, Paul McCartney composed a new version of the old song, Golden Slumbers.
I was just playing the piano in Liverpool, my dad's house. And my sister Ruth's piano book was up on the thing, you know, this stand, you know, there's a little book with all those words in it and stuff. So I was just flicking through it, and I came to Golden Slumbers, you know. So I just started, because I can't read music, so I didn't know the tune. I can't remember the old tune, you know. So I started just playing my tune to it. And then I liked the words, so I just kept that, you know. And then it fitted with another bit of song I had, which is the verse in between it. So I just made that into a song. It just happened because I was reading their book.
Once there was a way, lullaby.
From the Abbey Road LP, Paul's Golden Slumbers. There have even been suggestions that the Beatles may play live again at a concert like those in Hyde Park or the festival at the Isle of Wight. But Paul feels differently.
For me, you see, what happened was when we played the Cavern, when we played the really early days, we really enjoyed performing, you know, and that was the fun, was to perform. But since then, our things got more into records and songwriting, mainly because if you start to perform after, say, the Cavern, you start to perform at, like, Peterborough Empire, Glasgow Empire, Liverpool Empire, you get an act. And, like, we never used to really vary the act. Occasionally we put a new song in. But you get very stereotyped, you know, and we just got an act. So for us, we've done all that you can do in performing. We can get bigger audiences, we can get bigger in quantity, but in quality of performance, it's difficult. You know, I personally, if we were going to do anything, prefer to just go right back to a small club.
Meanwhile, we do have Let It Be, the album released earlier this month. The film was given a worldwide premiere in the last few days. Paul explains about how the film Let It Be came about.
We've done a film which is like very different from anything we've done. Actually, we haven't done it. The film was made right about the time we were making Get Back. They did a film here in Apple, out in Twickenham, all over the place. And it's like a documentary, you know. It's like a film, say, of a painter, and he comes in and sets up a canvas, puts one brush mark on, then eventually you see him finish the painting. And it's all that he goes through to get to the painting. Well, with us, it's just somebody walk in, twang G and C, and say, this is how the song goes. And then eventually you see us finish the record. It's like, it's the stages. It's a good film, man. So it's interesting, you know.
Well, perhaps to the regrets of some female fans the world over, all the Beatles have now settled into their lives as married men. But how do the wives fit into Beatle life? Ringo.
Maureen is the fan, because she's really into that, you know, and she's really always given their point of view. And so that's good, you know, because you don't have that much contact with them anyway.
This year, Ringo released his first solo album, Sentimental Journey, singing older standard songs.
For me, personally, you know, I came into music with all these songs. You know, they were my start in music, because they're all the songs that when your mum and your dad and all your aunties came back from the pub and you had to do, these would be the songs they were all singing, you know. So they all have great memories for me. And the fact that they're still great songs, you know. They're still nice songs. You know, they can stand up to today. A few crazy words, mind you, but they're still powerful songs. Why do you
whisper? Whispering grass. This year, Ringo was also seen singing and dancing on television. But have they ever taken dancing lessons?
I had one when I was about 8, a tap dancing lesson, but a friend and I went to the co-op. It was above a co-op shop in Liverpool. Yeah. But there was too many girls there for us, and we left.
But for Ringo, after making the film The Magic Christian, it seems that acting is the big thing.
I really want to make a lot more films. This year, I was trying to make 3, you know, every sort of feel like the Christian, and then do one where I'm a killer or whatever, and another one, you know, get 3 different sort of parts, totally different, you know, to sort of, because at the moment they're putting me in like life comedian, and they put me in a bag already. I want to get out of that, you know, and do other things.
Act Naturally by Ringo. The Plastic Ono Band, meanwhile, has been the most productive outlet for the talents of John Lennon. The most recent hit was called Instant Karma.
With this song, we wrote it in the morning, recorded it and remixed it and got it out in a week here on the States, which is pretty fast moving. I want it to be like that, you know. I want to be able to put it out as it happens, you know. I write songs about what's happening to me that moment. I don't take it too seriously, because I think that's the trouble with art, quotes, music quotes, and the Alan Klein coming in days and all that, you know, and the ATV thing going on, you know. The Beatles have a lot of pressure. I'm together all the time, fighting and arguing and listening to all these different business things. And so we're taking a break from each other like we always did after a tour ending. That business thing was like a heavy tour, you know.
Well, George Harrison, too, has been successfully developing his abilities as a writer and a record producer with hits by the Radha Krishna Temple and Billy Preston. But what kind of records does George choose to listen to himself?
I play mainly Indian music and Bob Dylan and the band. I do play, I like to keep up with all the people I know of and new things. In fact, I've got an incredible collection of records. It's very difficult, in a way, to be able to hear what's going on all the time and not fill up the house with sort of rubbish. In the thing like Hare Krishna mantra, you know, that's really a spiritual song. The purpose is to give people a bit of relief from the normal pressures. But you don't have to understand that sort of music or lyric, because it's in the actual sound that it produces has certain magic.
So you don't have to know all the ins and outs of the religion,
yes,
to be able to appreciate the
record. It's like anything, like singing Alleluia, Alleluia. If you really sung that for an hour, then you'd feel good. And I'd like to get more into that sort of music that you can benefit from on all different levels, like physically and mentally, and that actually does you some good rather than just sort of bebop and having a nice time. The Beatles film is just pure documentary of us slogging and working
on and, Let It Be.
Yeah, on the album. And really, we were thinking of how to do a TV show, but we realized it was much easier just to make it into a film. You know, it was a 16mm film, but it was so nice in a way it was very informative. It's not really nice for me. I can't stand seeing it. But for other people who don't know what we're really about, who like to go in and see our warts, then it's very good. We were down in Apple rehearsing, and we decided to film it on 16mm to maybe use as a documentary. And the record happened to be the rehearsal of the record, and the film happened to be, rather than a TV show, it happened to be the film of us making the record. So it's very rough in a way. You know, it's nice because, again, you can see our warts. You can hear us talking, you can hear us playing out of tune, and you can hear us coughing and all those things. It's the complete opposite to the sort of clinical approach that we've normally had. You know, studio recording, everything, the balance, everything's just right, and, you know, the silence in between each track. This is really not like that. There's one song which is a 12-bar, because I've never written a 12-bar before, and that's called For You Blue, and it's just a very simple foot-tapping 12-bar. The other one is a very strange song, which I wrote the night before it was in the film. This time we were at Twickenham, and I wrote this song. It took 5 minutes just from an idea I had. I went into the studio and sang it to Ringo, and they happened to film it. And that film sequence was quite nice, you see. So they wanted to keep that sequence in the film, but I hadn't really recorded it in Apple with the rest of the song, so we had to go in the studio and re-record it. The whole album, you see, is very spontaneous because all we were doing was rehearsing. So in between different numbers, we suddenly go into Fats Domino tunes or, you know, old Rock Around the Clock or type things. You know, whatever, however we felt at the time. So there's little bits and pieces. There's a nice song of Paul's, which is one of those that probably hundreds of people will record. And somebody's going to have a hit with it. Called The Long and Winding Road. It's like one of those ballad standard sort of things. My attitude when we decided to use it as an album was that people may think we're not trying, you know, because it's really like a demo record. But on the other hand, it's worth so much more than those other records, because you can actually get to know us a bit more. You know, it's a bit more human than the average studio record. I'd certainly, you know, don't want to see the end of the Beatles. And I know I'll do anything, you know, whatever Paul, John, Ringo would like to do, you know, I'll do it. As long as we can all be free to be individuals at the same time. You know, but there was a lot of sort of tension for a while, because, you know, if you grow up together, then you tend to forget about the growth of each other, you know?
What are the prospects? Are the Beatles going their own ways alone, or are they likely to record again? The final word from John.
I've no idea if the Beatles will work together again or not, you know. I never did have, you know, it was always open, you know. If somebody didn't feel like it, that's it, you know. It could be a rebirth or a death, you know, and we'll see what it is, you know, but it'd probably be a rebirth.
Let It Be was introduced by Johnny Moran and produced by Ted Beston.